got a spring or an itch.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, Medical Director and Physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. Before we even start on today's topic, let me say that Alzheimer's disease is not a normal part of aging. The greatest known risk factor is, of course, increasing age, and the majority of people with Alzheimer's are 65 and older. But Alzheimer's is not just a disease of old age.
Approximately 200,000 Americans under the age of 65 have younger onset of Alzheimer's. Most of us know that Alzheimer's worsens over time.
So dementia symptoms gradually worsen over a number of years. In its early stages, memory loss is mild, but with late-stage Alzheimer's, individuals lose the ability to carry on a conversation and respond to their environment.
Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States.
Later in the show, Carmen and I will talk about symptoms, cures, and treatments, but right now, we'd like to talk to you, especially those of you who may have a family member or close friend with Alzheimer's disease. The disease can be frustrating for the sufferer and for those who care for them.
There is a product out there made by Amazon that can help Alzheimer's patients. Again, it helps both the sufferers and those who care for them.
Alexa, what time is it?
It's 2:14 a.m.
It's the Amazon Echo. Well, quickly, stage one symptoms are trouble remembering new names and people, misplacing objects, struggling to plan and organize, and difficulty finding the right words in a conversation.
Alexa, what's another word for subscribe?
Subscribe synonyms include pledge, sign, subscribe to, support, and take.
At this stage, the person will likely still be able to function independently, but these memory lapses may become increasingly noticeable and begin to cause some irritation.
Then in stage two, which is usually the longest lasting stage, usually lasting many years, the symptoms start to include more severe mild stage symptoms. Forgetting personal history and recent events, mood changes, confusion about time and place, inability to recall personal details such as addresses and personality and behavioral changes.
At this stage, care will be needed for the person with Alzheimer's. There can be risk of them wandering and becoming lost, and that can be extremely dangerous.
There is also a stage three where the Alzheimer's patients may not be able to communicate much of what they feel or need.
But if we concentrate on our patients in the first two stages, that Amazon Echo can be very helpful. Many Alzheimer's patients are embarrassed to repeat the same questions. They feel bad for those who have to keep answering the same questions for them. And it can be frustrating for the friends and family when they have to repeat so many things over and over again.
Here is where the Echo comes to the rescue. As Amazon says, the Echo is a smart speaker device that connects to the Voice Control Intelligent Personal Assistant Service, Alexa, which responds to the name Alexa. This wake word can be changed by the user to Amazon Echo or computer.
The device is capable of voice interaction, music playback, making to-do lists, setting alarms, streaming podcasts, playing audiobooks, and providing weather, traffic, and other real-time information.
It can also control several smart devices using itself as a home automation hub.
If you don't know what the Amazon Echo is, you can look up its full uses on the internet. But for our purposes, here is how it works. The Echo is pretty much a hands-free item and doesn't require a level of dexterity like mobile devices do to use. The Echo acts, in this case, as the user's assistant.
Most people who own any of the Echo family use the device to turn their home into a smart home.
The Echo offers ways to make turning lights on and off, turning heat up and down, for example, all voice activated. The Echo has the ability to access Bing and quickly answer questions that it's asked. And it can also connect to Google Calendar. This is one of many features that could be utilized by those with Alzheimer's and their caregivers as well.
First of all, Amazon allows you to set up households on your account. This means that you can set up a patient's Echo and control it remotely through the app.
This has many benefits, again, for both the caregiver and the patient. One feature allows the caregiver to view all the questions the patient has been asking the Echo. Now, this allows the caregiver to monitor the patient's well-being. But how can the Echo help Alzheimer's patients directly? Well, it's hands-free. There's no typing or touch involved. Later on in the condition, dexterity can worsen, so this may be a very useful feature. And again, Alexa never gets frustrated.
Someone with Alzheimer's may need to ask the same question over and over, like, what is today's date?
They avoid asking as they feel like it causes annoyance in their caregivers, which it sometimes does. Alexa never gets frustrated, though, and never changes her tone of voice to sound annoyed. So the person can ask them any question and get an answer as many times as they like.
Alexa can record conversations. As we said, this can be very useful to the caregivers who can view the usage of the Echo and what interactions the person had with it.
This could lead to useful inferences. For example, if the Echo's history shows many requests late at night, this may indicate to the caregiver that the patient is struggling with insomnia. If the person has been using the Echo for leisure activities like listening to audiobooks in the afternoon and history shows then suddenly stops, it may mean the person is feeling depressed or experiencing some other kind of change which can then be investigated by the caregivers.
A caregiver can set up a Google Calendar so that the Echo can access it. The caregiver can put people's birthdays and other important events on it.
The patient can then ask, Alexa, what's going on this week? Or, Alexa, what's going on today? As many times as they need, and always know if there's an important date coming up. Now, the Echo has an alarm feature which can be used for far more than just waking up on time. One can set an alarm to go off each day to remind someone to take their medicines, for example.
It can also be used for relaxation. For example, the Thunderstorm Sound skill plays a loop of a thunderstorm or ocean and rain sounds to induce relaxation.
Because the nature of Alzheimer's means that both the patient and caregivers can experience anxiety and stress, taking time to sit down and relax is important for both's well-being.
Now, this is just one example of a skill for relaxation. There are many more, such as music playlists, access through Amazon Music, and Audible.
I actually like the new one called Memory Lane. You can ask Alexa for history events in any year or music from that year. Now, for many, Memory Lane connects users to the past. The user can ask for a description or audio clips from a defining event in history for any specific year.
Then there is the Ask My Body feature, which is a personal alert network if someone is at home on their own or if they fall in the middle of the night with no way of getting to or using a phone, they can simply ask Alexa to alert someone for them.
Then Ask My Buddy sends a text, email, and calls someone who is registered as a contact to tell them that the person who requested the alert needs help and needs to be checked on. You've probably heard of Audible. Now, this is a service that's owned by Amazon for audiobooks.
The Echo can be used with Audible to play audiobooks. patients with Alzheimer's could benefit from the relaxing nature of being read to.
If the patient is suffering from insomnia, audiobooks could be a good distraction or possibly help them to get to sleep. The audio app also allows users to easily start where they left off or rewind for a recap at any time.
The patient can ask Alexa what they have on for the day as many times as they like, with no one getting frustrated at having to repeat themselves.
The caregiver can put anything in the patient's calendar from the Alexa app and can place entries with additional helpful info. For example, Frank's coming around today. He's your son, and he's going to talk to you about going to dinner tonight.
By giving the patient this easy access, extra information about the event, awkwardness and anxiety could be reduced.
One very interesting Echo skill is called the My Circle skill. Here, Echo can be used to help patients stay up to date with the people they are most close with. The skill allows the people in the Echo household to manage a set of profiles of the people that the patient wants to keep up to date with.
The profiles can include anything, entries such as full name, age, birthday, profession, and relation would be recommended.
There is also the functionality for those with profiles to record messages and updates for the Echo to play to the patient when they ask for their circle's updates or a specific person's updates. These recorded messages could be anything from recordings of the latest song they learned on piano to a voice update about how a house move went, anything that the person wants the patient to know so they can keep in the loop.
We see the patient using this before a call or outing with one of the people with a profile. The patients can refresh themselves on the person they are going to talk to as many times prior that they want. An example would be an outing to the beach with the patient's sister-in-law. The sister-in-law's profile could say something like this: Mary is your sister-in-law. She's married to your brother, Larry. Mary is 52 years old. Mary likes dancing and golf.
It has been anticipated that it will empower the patient and allow them to communicate that they are staying in touch with their loved ones and are taking an interest in their life. Now, since 2015, there's a skill that's called Bingo. You can say, Alexa, play Bingo. It will call the bingo numbers. All you need are the bingo cards, which can be downloaded from the website by the caregiver. Alexa, play Bingo.
Welcome to Bingo. You can ask for help to get more information, or say start if you are ready to begin the game.
Start.
The number is 070. Mark number 70 in column O on your card.
Next.
The number is I, 24. Mark number 24 in column I on your card.
Stop.
Thanks for playing Bingo.
There is even new research that may use an Echo-like artificial intelligence feature to help those with Alzheimer's.
For example, in the bathroom, a camera over the sink may be able to determine if the patient is confused about what to do and automatically tell the sufferer to turn on the water, use the soap, lather up, rinse the hands, and then turn off the water.
Scientists have launched a virtual reality game to detect Alzheimer's. It is called Sea Hero Quest, and it aims to allow scientists to study Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, this morning I downloaded the game and played through all the levels. Remember, this is a research project only and will not tell you your own possible memory problems, although it can give you an inkling into them. The results are helping research for understanding Alzheimer's and, more importantly, possibly for a cure. One of the first symptoms of Alzheimer's is loss of navigational skills. But data comparing cognitive response across a broad spectrum of ages is rare, and this is what the game seeks to provide.
The game, built as the largest dementia study in history, has been developed by Deutsche Telekom, Alzheimer's Research UK, and scientists from University College London and the University of East Anglia.
The mobile version, which came out in 2016, has already been downloaded 3 million times in over 190 countries.
Playing the game for just 2 minutes, the website said, generates the same amount of data scientists would take 5 hours to collect in similar lab-based research.
With the equivalent of 63 years already played, scientists now have some 9,500 years worth of dementia research to go through. And according to David Reynolds, the chief scientific officer at Alzheimer's Research, the game gave the researchers an enormous amount of information, and it really allowed them to understand how men and women of different ages navigate in the game.
Resolving the task requires the use of different parts of the brain, and different parts of your brain are used in different ways by different types of dementia. So it allows us to link what someone can do to what is going on in their brain.
Well, it's time for our mid-show break. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky with Carmen Lasky, and this is Hey Doc. This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just 2 blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I'm here with my co-host, Carmen Lasky. In the first half of the show, Carmen and I talked about a game called Sea Hero Quest that is being used by researchers to try to help in the discovery of causes and maybe someday a cure for Alzheimer's disease. Again, it's called Sea Hero Quest. And now there's the addition of virtual reality, as the game can be downloaded in virtual reality from the Oculus site to work with the Samsung VR systems. There are 50 million sufferers of Alzheimer's right now in this world. So we get to know whether people are lost and how they behave in those situations in the game. That's what researchers have said. Every single one of the experiments that they have done is helping them gather data around spatial navigation. Now, that figure could balloon to 132 million by 2050. And Reynolds said playing the game could in itself help with prevention.
As you just heard, the background music is quite calming and not at all imposing. The game consists mainly of steering a boat on very short trips to one or more floating targets and clicking a button to take a picture of a sea creature at the best time as it rises from the sea. Playing the game can keep your brain fit and active. This is good and is helpful to reduce your risk of dementia or slow its progression down if you have it.
We said earlier that we would give you some indications on Alzheimer's and some of the medications that have been used or are presently being used to treat it. Currently, there are 5 medications that have been approved by the FDA, and those are to treat the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. These are donepezil, galantamine, memantine, rivastigmine, and a brand name, Namzaric, which is a combination of donepezil and memantine.
Current FDA-approved Alzheimer's drugs support this communication processed through two different mechanisms.
Cholinesterase inhibitors work by slowing down the process that breaks down a key transmitter. Donepezil, galantamine, and rivastigmine are all cholinesterase inhibitors.
Memantine, the fifth Alzheimer's drug, is an NMDA, N-methyl-D-aspartate receptor antagonist, which works by regulating the activity of glutamate. This is an important neurotransmitter in the brain involved in learning and memory.
Attachment of glutamate to cell surfaces, these are the docking sites as they're called, are the NMDA receptors, and they permit calcium to enter the cell. Now, this process is important for something called cell signaling, and it's also important for learning and memory. In Alzheimer's disease, however, excess glutamate can be released from the damaged cells, and these lead to chronic overexposure to calcium, which can speed up cell damage.
Memantine helps prevent this destructive chain of events by partially blocking the NMDA receptors.
The effectiveness of cholinesterase inhibitors and memantine varies across the population. Current drugs, well, they just mask the symptoms of Alzheimer's, but they don't, unfortunately, treat the underlying disease or even delay its progress.
A breakthrough Alzheimer's drug would treat the underlying disease and stop or delay the cell's damage that eventually leads to the worsening of symptoms.
Now, there are several promising drugs in development and testing, but more volunteers are needed to complete the clinical trials of those drugs. And there needs to be increased federal funding of research in order to ensure that fresh ideas continue to fill the pipeline. Well, your next toothbrush could warn you if you have cancer or Alzheimer's.
Scientists now believe embedding tiny DNA sequencers into household products could trigger a healthcare revolution.
There are silicon microchips capable of reading and encoding DNA, and these have been called nanopore sequencers. They're now small enough to be built into even toothbrushes. Now, the technology could help thousands quickly detect the onset of a fatal disease, such as Alzheimer's and cancer.
They work by passing DNA through a gap in the microchip some 1.5 nanometers across, equals to 80,000 times thinner than a human hair.
They can be embedded in refrigerators or toothbrushes as they get smaller. A small current is passed through the DNA, which allows the sequencer to encode the genetic code into a digital record.
The resulting digital genetic code can be uploaded to online data storage such as the cloud and compared against markers known to indicate certain diseases such as Alzheimer's and cancers.
A company, Oxford Nanopore, which builds a popular palm-sized nanopore detector currently being used to track Ebola in West Africa, claims that their sequences can run anywhere on anything. And Chief Technology Officer Clive Brown said that they are going to make a version that works on handheld mobile phones. It can measure your blood markers and collate that data to track changes in your daily biology. The wealth of information obtained could change the way people live.
Mr. Brown was asked about the potential security risks when uploading and analyzing somebody's DNA in the cloud. But the Oxford Nanopore technology officers shrugged it off the data privacy concern and said it was a logistical concern that would eventually be solved by the industry.
That same security concerns apply to Fitbits or location services on your mobile phone. Those things, as we know, are already out there. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.